You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, Don, throughout the course of doing these podcasts, we like to speak to people who have achieved, you know, in some sort of capacity in their life, achievers.
Oh, I thought you'd start the introduction differently.
Well, you started.
Oh, well, Don, now you...
Don?
You don't... Yes, this is what you'd say.
Oh, you're Don, me.
I'll take you off. Mm. You ready? I'll try an impersonation.
Go ahead.
Now, Don, you don't contribute to this podcast. You never come with any information.
Oh, that's not right.
You never come up with a guest.
Oh, shut up.
I've got to do all the work. But today you've come up with a guest. Now, would you please do the introduction?
Is this you or me speaking now?
No, this is you. Would you please do the introduction? That's you.
I'm Don now.
No, right. I'm Don now, so I'm going back to meet myself now. Now, today's guest. Now, there are poignant times in your life, and shut up. I'm doing the get. Don't interrupt. And I go back years
what
to
Saturday. What sort of words, poignant?
Shut up, please. I'm doing an introduction to our guest. I'm setting this. You told me, set the scene. Saturday night, I never had much to do when I was newly married, so we'd sit at home in the early...
That's what your missus told me too.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she had. You got Fair nothing to do. You wouldn't even...
Serious?
You
wouldn't is that even, what happened? Is that
you wouldn't
is
even
that the worries in the marriage
do
broke?
Anything with her. You is used to right? just sit outside on the porch and ignore
That's
her.
That's what she said.
Go on.
And Saturday night, it was a ritual, 6:30, Hey Hey, it's Saturday. I used to watch Hey Hey, Saturday when it came out at 8 o'clock prior to going to play football in the early 70s with Daryl Summers and Peter McKenna. But anyway, I used to love a show called Red Faces. There were three memorable acts in my time of watching Red Faces. First off was Brian Nankervis. He recited poetry, and his name was Raymond Bartholomew's. And he
Bartholomew's?
Came on, yeah, Bartholomew's.
Bartholomew.
No, Bartholomew's.
Oh, bullshit.
Did you watch it?
Well, Bartholomew is name. Go on.
The other was a man called Jack Levi, who is a Hawthorne supporter, and came out and did Elliot Goblet. Now, the third, and this bloke fascinated me, I don't know, he had all these fellows behind
don't
him.
Don't mention his name until
no,
you...
No, I won't, because they came out as a group and they were called the Music Men. Now, we have got the leader of the Music Men, the man who was right out the front with curly blonde hair. He is an Englishman. And he is now sitting in the chair. He doesn't look anything like the man that I saw back in the early 80s. He looks like a fucking Dero that's come out of Peaky Blinders.
Language.
Well, he does. He looks like... I thought
his wife's in with us.
Let me tell you,
Michelle.
That he is batting above his average.
Of course.
He is... I don't know what he's got.
Anyhow.
He's driven up in a Land Rover, an immaculate Range Rover.
Oh, why don't you give the number plate out so
well,
people
I will
can
in a minute.
Go and...
And he gets out of the car and looks like
it.
A bloody Dero.
So Don, so...
can I introduce to you...
Well, we'll just say that he... I think he emigrated from England in 1988... when the music...
I was married. I wasn't... I was married when
okay.
I saw him.
Right.
I was sitting in the house at Wandon.
All right, well, you introduce who he is. He's the lead act, the lead man of the Music Men, and his name is...
Oh, fuck. Shit. I forgot. Who was it? What's his name?
Are you serious? He's not long about leaving. He's about to leave the premises,
shit.
Don. His name's David.
Oh, yeah. Dave.
Brooks.
Thanks. David Brooks.
Affectionately known as Brooksy.
And isn't he a well-known man around
so,
town?
So, David, I'm really sorry for that ham-fisted introduction. Welcome, Brooksy, to You Cannot Be Serious.
Well, it's great to be here. What an introduction. Brooksy, eh? Brooksy.
You're very well-known around David Melbourne Brooks. Because people ask me, who have you got on the show this week? Now, Russell Green, a former teammate of mine, said, oh, we've got Dave Brooks on. You know, he used to be, oh, Brooksy! And then I work with Bernie Quinley. Said, who have you got on tomorrow? I said, oh, Dave Brooks. Oh, he wrote a song about me.
You did.
So you're really well known around town.
Oh, good.
So I know you'll correct us if any of this is wrong. So you obviously came out before 1988,
I presume. Correct.
When did you come out?
I came out to play soccer on a three-year soccer contract in 1981.
Okay. Who did you come out to play for?
Ringwood Wilhelmina.
Oh, I'll be buggered. The Dutch people.
Dutch. Offredomme.
I'll be buggered.
Offredomme. And, came 81.
And for a man and a group who have cut their teeth on doing AFL songs and sending up AFL teams and people and personalities, for a person, I presume, who knew nothing about our Indigenous Australian game called Australian Rules Football, it's remarkable that you have become the success that you have, having had no idea about our game, our culture and the teams. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it, Brooksy?
It would be very true to say that we knew nothing about the game, but we knew about the drinking culture, and that was good enough for the footy players.
Now, where are you from in England?
I'm from a town called Bury in the north of England, famous for Sir Robert Peel, who was
Prime Minister of England,
and started.
Wasn't he the emancipator of slaves or something?
They were saying that recently, but he wasn't, and he started
copper,
the police force.
Pardon? Yeah, the head copper.
Yeah, Peel. Oh, that's why they call them Bobbies. Well, yeah, that's someone you'd know that.
Who else? Peelers. Who else?
And it's famous. The $20 note at the moment, there's a lady on the back of it, Mary Reby, on the $20 note. When she was 11 years old, she was dressed as a boy and she stole a horse and she got sent to Australia as a convict at 11.
Really?
Right. And they found out she was a boy, released her, and then she ended up marrying a captain in the British, well, Australian Army. And then she became a very successful charity person and did a lot, and she's on the back of the $20 note.
So, okay, so you came out to play soccer and you suddenly thought, I tell you what I'll do, I'll either do this myself or I'll get someone with me or I'll get a group of people and we'll make a killing by sending up and in a nice affectionate way Australian Rules Football. How did that idea spawn? How did you spawn that idea?
Well, Sam, the tradition back in England with all the lads, we'd go out and we'd have a sing-along, and the music man was part of my party piece. And in the 80s, I must say I came out at TNT and I worked with Mark McClure and Kenny Hunter and these lads, you know, and Mark Dawson was my sales manager.
Yeah.
And I was in that coach and I was doing songs about them after in the Flagstaff, and then I'd be doing it with the lads after it. I actually got barred from the saloon. I got barred from the Fortner Club for doing all the for standing on the bar and doing the music man, and then we were watching Red Faces and one of the boys said, "Why don't we go on that?" So I said, "All right." So I got nine of the boys.
Now, what are these soccer boys?
We're all soccer lads. Yeah, who came here.
So they're all from England.
Oh, England and Scotland.
Really?
Yeah.
England, why is it that the English and the Scottish, the Irish, I feel embarrassed when I've been over there, especially the Irish pubs, when they can get up and sing, you're so uninhibited, and it's embarrassing.
He was just explaining how he got onto it, and you interrupted him.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. But you're right, though, Don. It's part of our culture. We do that, and I went on, and we all got our suits on because we all used to go out in suits, sort of English tradition, and the girls liked it as well, which was good. So we've gone on with our suits on, and we ended up winning it. We won $500. We went straight to the station hotel, and it was $50 each, and got pretty drunk, and that was it. We thought it finished. No more, because we were playing soccer. And then I got a transfer back to England for 2 years. I came back. And
In soccer?
No, through work, right? Because I was coaching and playing. And then I bumped into Daryl Summers at a petrol station and he's in Hawthorne and he said to me, "Oh, you're back, come on the show again." So we went on again, and that's when we did the Gladstone Spall and a few of the others. And again, nothing of it. We thought, well, that's it, another $500 down the pub, have a lap and all that. No intention of carrying on with it. And then we got a Tuis commercial. They flew us to New Zealand, and we did a Tuis commercial, and then we were touring around New South Wales advertising this beer. And they're paying us as well.
So, Brooksy.
Yeah.
You pushed the envelope, and in this politically correct day and age, you probably took off Gladstone Small and the Pommies and the Kiwis and all the footballers. And now, mate, it's like a minefield. You probably got to be so careful about what you say and who you say it about. Yeah. It's almost a comedy has almost just been hit for six, if you like, because no one has a sense of humour anymore. And we have the activists ready to jump on every single. We know this only too well. Jump on every single thing that you say. Well, how have you handled all that?
Well, I think it's the British humour that we do it, but we try and not do it untastefully, right? Mm. Even like Gladstone Small. I'll never forget, he was the origin of the Ashes at Sunbury. And I get a tap on my shoulder, and Gladstone Small, he says, what's this song you do about me? He started laughing. Next day, we had lunch at the Storkhouse. He was great about it.
Yeah, no, and the people that you send up and the we take the piss out of love it, and yet you have the vocal minority.
You couldn't
the
do
activists.
That Gladstone Small thing
well,
now,
I don't
could
know.
You?
We've moved on a bit now. He's not
but I mean, you couldn't do it today. I watched that other fellow called Barry Humphreys. How would he go today?
Oh, damn, I don't know.
and Sir Les Paterson.
So what has been the most popular? The most popular, the one you get requested most about the song or the parody that you do about a club or a person? Is that an unfair question?
Yeah, there's so many because we were doing these things, and then Greg Champion got us to do the footy fun on the footy show when we did the Sam Newman, I'm Too Sexy For This Song, Too Sexy For This Song, and Dunstall and all that. And then we got in there. That's when Sam said, I knew nothing about footy. Next minute, we're in the footy culture.
Yep.
And we're at Calm Football Club. We're doing a song about John Elliott. We're doing all the footballers. But it was funny. It wasn't like having a go at them.
No, absolutely.
And we got into this football culture.
And did you research and write the material? Yep.
All ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, you would have had to research.
Yourselves, meaning plural, not you.
Yeah, well, we all chipped in.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
We all chipped in, and Greg was writing a few.
So Greg's from the Could Have Been Champions, and you weren't never part of them, though.
No. We did a few.
But you worked in collaboration with them and did gigs together with the Could Have Beens?
We did gigs. We never knew what gigs was at one stage. Because don't forget, we were soccer players. This wasn't our intention to come to Australia. You know, we're thinking about not doing it. Next minute, we'll get another phone call or get the boys together, and some of them were playing soccer and couldn't do it. So I was getting ringings in and different things. But that was what I was saying about Sam. I'll never forget when it was the 100 years of AFL, and there was a huge marquee on the
MCG.
MCG.
I went to that.
The Prime Minister was there, and we performed doing all the club songs.
Yeah.
At the 100th anniversary, and I'll never forget 1995, maybe.
Yep.
And I'll never forget Sam said to me, "This is ridiculous. We've got a lot of English lads here singing our football songs.
I know.
How did this happen?"
It is amazing. It is amazing
we're
story.
We're not like the Irish, the English, and I'm embarrassed when I've been there to Ireland, how they all
But
sing
this had
and
never
join.
Happened over there. They won't get a lot of Aussies singing soccer songs.
No.
They get them beat up.
No.
But that's, to me, what I keep telling people is Australians judge you how you are, not on your accent, not where you're from. If you're a good bloke, you're all right.
Mate, this is, we keep going on about this, but we get hijacked by the political correct people who want to make a point about we treat people as individuals no matter who you are or what you are.
But hang on,
you'd
be
amazed how this is getting out of hand.
How do you judge Australians? Because you're an outsider.
All right, I've been here 42 years, right? I came here with nothing and I've still got it. Right?
What, still got nothing?
Nothing, still got
Jeez,
nothing.
Jeez, you're driving
still
that
working.
Blood. And the wife's not bad,
it's not
either.
My wife. It's not my wife.
Oh, jeez.
It's my carer.
Oh, you can't.
The wife, I reckon.
No, it's not my wife. It's my best friend.
And you're saying the wife is not bad.
She's the carer is not bad. Wife, can you give me a hand
the
pass?
The wife or whoever she is has a name, and her name is Michelle. Michelle, say you're not a figment of our imagination. Say hello into the microphone, please. No, come on, Michelle.
Pull your chair in, Michelle.
Yeah, he must have...
Michelle's from Scotland.
I know. How does she mix
it's
with...
It's a moonlit net to net. Spit into the microphone, please, love.
What are you doing with an Englishman, Michelle?
Exactly.
Hey?
Feed him?
Ubering, feed him. She comes and checks on me because I live on my own, so...
You live on your own?
Just in case something happens.
Jeez, don't blow your brains out.
No.
Hey, and you better watch outside. Him. He hasn't got a gun.
And I sleep outside.
You sleep outside?
I can't sleep inside.
We got a partner for you down on Beaconsfield Parade. Yeah, do you want a partner?
Yeah.
You can sleep rough.
Yeah, no.
You know, Michelle, you're not his husband. Husband. You're not his wife. No, you're just friends. And fantastic. And you hooked up in the 80s, 90s, or is this just recent?
This is not trying to sound
like the FBI.
18 months.
18 months.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. And you're very, I'm going to say, we can say this, Don, because we're old enough to be able to say this, you're an extremely attractive looking
but
woman.
But I like the way she dresses. That's enough. From Paris.
It's just as old as radio.
Yeah. So
anyway, tell me about Australians from you as an outsider.
It sums up the first few years when I came here, summed up Australia to me. I'd just left England in the early 80s. Margaret Thatcher's in charge. We had the miners' strikes. It was a nightmare.
It was rooted, wasn't it, England?
Yeah. So I've left there, come on a 3-year contract. I'm going back. I land here. You've just won a boat race. Your Prime Minister is drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he says, if any boss gives anybody the sack today, they're a bum. I've gone, I'll have a bit of that. Yeah. Margaret Thatcher won't be saying that. And that really thought, this is great. And I was lucky to work with TNT, as I said, with McClure and Kenny Hunter and Mark Dawson and all these people took me under the wing, and I learnt the Australian way. And I was called the POM. And in fact, in that first week, seriously here, I had my first cold beer, I had my first steak, and I had my first shower, because we don't have showers in England.
And being a POM, you never even used to store the beer. You never used to store the beer near the fridge, let alone in it.
No,
you'd hide your money under the soap, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. We only have a bath in England once a week, whether you need it or not. But here, you had two showers a day, and I'm going, this is, but everybody's so... The pommy bashing was all right, but it's. I tell people back in England when I go back, no, if they call you a pommy bastard, that means they love you.
Yeah.
It's an affection with it. It's the Aussies, they'll tell you straight to the face. They either like you or they don't like you, and they search you out for that, how you are as a person, not what you do, not what, you know, I'm an iceberger now with the icebergers down at Brighton, and a lot of them, you know, high flies. But when we get there when you get there in the tracksuit and the budgies, it's a leveller. You don't know who they are. There you go.
So has anyone ever taken offence at what you've said about them or said to you, never?
Never, ever, ever have we had any complaints. We get complaints when we'd not done them.
Yep. So you say you came here with nothing and you've still got it. Well, I tell you what, I couldn't read out all the gigs that you've done. I'll just read out the first 10. Saab, Australia Post, ANZ, National Bank, Still, New Zealand Insurance, Blue Star. That's about a third. That's just a sample. You've spoken and performed at many Australian companies and overseas companies. So you must be doing something right, Brooksy.
And
you're still doing it.
We refocused again, but...
COVID knocked you about?
Yeah, it did. I got it real bad.
No, not you, but it's able to perform.
But we enjoy it now. Like, we got together last year and we did the new Music Man with Trump and Boris and all these things. And we did a couple of cricket songs. Like, this is how ridiculous it is again. In the ACB in 2006 and 1995 rang us up to do some songs against the Pommies. Right, so we're English, and I found the YouTube video last night, and we're on the ground singing, See the English, the poor old English, the whinging all the way. They whinge away, they whinge away, they whinge. And the Barmy Army were booing like mad. And I'll never forget Ricky Ponton. He was about to come on bat and he went, "That's good, we've got them wound up." But we are English singing against the Aussies.
Yeah, we're not creative, are we? It's not like that. Listen, your image. I remember you with, you know, blonde kind of curly hair. The hair's now gone. Yeah. You're unshaven. I've just got to describe you. Yeah. You look like something from Peaky Blinders. A three-piece suit, the newsboy's cap, and the two front teeth. Where are they gone?
Oh, the teeth are gone. Well, it goes back to a story of this. When I came in the early 80s, I had a monkey's at the back of my head, a monkey's ass. Can you say that, right?
What's a monkey's ass?
When I got a whole, you know, like a monk, I had her, but a whole.
Oh, monk, M-O-N-K.
Yeah, a monk.
Oh, jeez, I thought it was monkey. Speak English?
In 1983, I got a wig.
So that's not a wig, is it?
I wore a wig.
You're joking.
I was the undercover pom. I wore a wig for 32 years.
Fair dinkum.
And everybody says that. Where's that big bush of hair?
Yeah.
So anyway, 10 years ago, and you know John Locko, don't you, who's been on here?
I was just going to mention, if you're in the Icebergers, he's down
at
the
Iceberger. Yeah, he is the Iceberger.
Is that you with a wig?
Yeah, that's me. Holy with the syrup.
I told you the bloody hair. That's all I remember is hair.
So, talking about the teeth, 2001, it was the first ever corporate boxing. And I was filmed corporate boxing at Albert Park where people can go and have a fight, right?
Really?
It was the first one. And I was filming it because I was doing documentaries at that time, and someone didn't turn up, and they said, "Brooks, why don't you have a go?" So I ended up fighting someone half my age. I was 60 then, and they were 30, and we were the first fight. And if you've ever seen Buster Keaton or Lauren Hardy, that was me. We come in the ring, and it was on Foxtel Live. Barry Michaels commentating. I had Sam Solomon in my corner. And I'm mucking about thinking it's going to be a joke, this. He's come out swinging at me, and I'm running around away from him like a black and white movie. 26 seconds, he's caught me one. I was out for 6 minutes.
Really?
I was out, and my wig went up, and I went down. Honestly, I'll send you the video, and when you see it, you'll laugh your head off. But I were down, and I had the oxygen on me and everything. Oh, it's ridiculous. I should never
have done it. So what's that got to do with your teeth?
Well, that's what I said. I damaged them then, right? So anyway, I got a bridge on. About a month ago, I was having corn on the cob, and it came out.
So it's corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob. It's not a fight. It was corn
Michelle's
on the cob.
Michelle's finding this extremely humorous.
Because it's true.
Did you cook the corn?
Find his teeth. That's the
point. So I had to listen to this. I had some false ones in. I get them back on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And she came round the other day and I said, "Oh, I'm ready now. Where's my teeth?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, because I do F45 with all the kids." I said, "Oh, they're in my tracksuit." I went, "Oh, my God, they're in the wash." So we had to wait 40 minutes for the washer to finish.
Brooksy, if you want the best teeth, false teeth in the world, my friend, my very dear friend, Kevin King, Dental Laboratories in Ascot Vale. He will make your teeth. Have you got your?
No, I'm getting them done. I'm getting the putting on Thursday.
Implants, see.
Proper
oh,
ones.
I get you now.
This has been going on for a bit now, but they're in the way to wait 40 minutes. But I've lost them now. I don't know where they are.
Do you know what a friend of mine lost his front teeth? Do you know he found them 3 days later in his underpants? And I'll tell you the man's name, Kim Lehman from Wakeree. Now, that is a fair dinkum story.
That will go viral.
That is a dinkum story.
So he swallowed them and he shit himself?
He went out to have a leak in the middle of the night, and somehow they've fallen into his underpants. He couldn't find them for a couple of days. They were in his bloody underpants.
Oh, my God.
He would have found something nipping at his agates.
I'm telling you, that's a true story.
Now, Brooksy, how old were you when you came in 83?
I was 27.
So, you're 67, are you?
No, 68.
60, 69 well, not bad. September. I just don't know.
You look ancient. You look shit ass.
Mathematics here. That's
doesn't very he? Good.
So Michelle, when you said you're belting up someone at 60, so that's 7 years, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, mate, so who, now come on, who did you like doing the best? Who did you must have the most?
The Footy Shaw ones.
No, but the For who? Popular.
Well, funny show.
Popular acclaim. Who was?
Oh, well, we can. How do you solve a problem like Maguire? How do you stop him talking about the pies? And then we did Gutnik. Just sit right back and hear a tale of Diamond Joe, who came to the Melbourne Football Club with lots and lots of dough.
Oh, fantastic. So you find a popular song and you put your words to it and you research the personalities or the people or the club. And no, it's clever stuff, mate. I know other people do it. And
he played for Hawthorn. I've just made this up. He played for Hawthorn and he dresses pretty suave. He does don, don, don. He does don, don. That was crap, wasn't it?
What's he doing? Can you tell me what he said?
What's that song? What's the song?
I do run, run.
Oh, I do run, run.
Oh, the do run, run.
Yeah.
Who's that? Yeah. It wasn't Del Shannon.
You know, I just made that up. And Sam was obviously, I'm too sexy for this.
You did
song.
One on Bernie Quinlan. He said it didn't go anywhere, though.
Yeah, but Bernie.
Bernie was playing back in those days.
Yeah, he was. Because I used to live with Glenn Coleman, who played with him, and that's why I went following Fitzroy.
So you did Jimmy Barnes? Did you not take him?
No, that's Steve, the one who can sing, Steve. Steve Cal.
So you didn't do that. This is Cal, is it?
That's proper.
Is this Brooksy and Cal?
Brooksy and Cal when we do our little duos.
And we're still in business with Cal. We're still speaking to one another, aren't we?
We're looking to do a tour of all people's homes soon.
Don and I might be in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I'm practicing now.
Yeah. The Wiggles. Does this Cal or you did the Wiggles?
Yeah, the Piss Wiggles. Can you point your fingers when you're pissed? Dorothy, will you please sleep with me? Dorothy. Can we say that?
Yeah, cool.
Say whatever you like.
And we get dressed up as the Wheels and we're pissed, you know. Point your fingers.
Human nature and all that.
Yeah, with neighbours. We're all sick of watching neighbours with a lot of overrides.
So where's it all headed?
No idea.
Brooke, you no idea? Never planned a day in your life? You just cruise along?
Honestly, that's one thing about me. None of this has ever been planned. I just wanted to play soccer like you with Buddy. That's all I wanted to do. That's why I came to Australia.
How far did you go with your soccer back home?
My claim to fame was I made my debut for Bury against Manchester United.
Hang on, Bury?
Bury Football Club.
B-U-R-Y. Yes.
And we played Manchester United.
What, in FA Cup?
No, in a game. And I marked Bobby Charlton.
You're joking,
And there's
did
a
you?
Picture... I've got it signed up, and he signed it, me and Bobby Charlton.
And listen, was that First Division Bury back then, or
no,
was the practice
we
game?
No, we were in the Second Division. So they were in the first.
So are you in the office writing material as we speak?
No.
No, you're just having a hiatus at the minute?
Well, it's there, but it never goes away, but you just wait for a phone call to do it.
Okay.
But with social media, we keep putting songs.
So that was my next question. So what's some of the biggest or the best venues you've played at? And do you go back to the old home country ever, and are you asked to perform and people say, who in the hell are these songs about?
We'd get killed in England if we did this.
Would you?
Would you?
Oh, of course we'd. Who are this lot? Oh, yeah.
What?
You know what it's like? It's like me, I'm from the north of England. If I went up in a pub in Millwall, I would not
speak. Hang on, where's Millwall?
London, they're like, and Chelsea and West Ham. I wouldn't speak because I'm a Man United fan, you see.
You what? You wouldn't speak?
The accent, no, because they'd just look at you.
Fair dinkum.
Oh, yeah. We're still...
What do you mean, class distinction?
No, because I'm from the north.
Yeah, well,
north.
That's class distinction, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's the scum, Manchester United.
Yeah, well, that's class distinction, isn't it?
Like, that's what I laugh about. Funny. Now, this is funny. It might not be funny to you. In England, the chants are shocking. Like, this is... United, last week, build a bonfire, put City on the top. Put the, what do you call it, in the middle and burn the lot. Whereas sing after a game, we're a happy team, all nice and nice, happy team at all. So that just sums up Australia.
So where do the crowd, it fascinates me, where does the crowd, is there a circular printed thing to go out to the crowd?
No, you just know it. You just pick it up. You just pick it up.
Those Someone chants sing are it, unbelievable.
And you pick it up. But
So Brooksy, you've... So... And I've done this, but as light relief, you've been, I presume, some prestigious gigs that are very black tie and all very toffee, and suddenly they introduce the Music Men, and on you come. What's some of the most diverse venues you've been at as far as class goes? Well, I mean,
well, going to them one time when we were doing the up, we did the rugby union on the ground in front of like 50,000. We did the Ashes at the MCG in front of 100,000 on the ground.
What, at lunchtime or drinks or something?
Yeah, and SCG and the MCG when I was saying we're doing the Ponds and the Aussies. Some of the weird ones.
You ever been?
Well, they're all weird, really, because we come to play soccer and we're not meaning to do this. Next minute, we're getting phone calls from the ACB. Oh, we're coming, like the AFL Centenary Ball. Yep. Like we're going, what's going on here? It wasn't our intention, but we enjoy it. I'm trying to think of some of the crazy ones.
You ever been to a convention of bankers or lawyers
and you've
a black tie place at the Australia Club and suddenly on you come and you knock them in the aisles and they think, God almighty, what are we doing
here? We died at a few, don't worry about
that. Have you?
Oh, don't worry about that, yeah.
Really? Well, because
like what?
There's one I can't even talk about because it makes me sick when I think about it.
But it wouldn't be because of the material, it's just because the people who booked you they didn't quite read is that right?
But don't forget, being honest now, in the early days, right? See, this is how ridiculous it was. We did Hey Hey, and that was it. Next minute, I bump into Darren, we're on again. It's gone. Next minute, we get a call from Sachi and Sachi. Tui's want to do a commercial. Next minute, I get a call from Michael Gidinski's secretary. We want to do an album with you. And we do it at Red Simons' garage on the weekend, because we're all playing soccer, we had to do it at night. But we had to have two slabs of beer. Then we go to the Coca-Cola Music Awards, and Will Smith is the MC. And we should have slapped him.
What are you doing that for, Michelle? Oh, because he slapped him. Oh, yeah.
So we've got our own caravan on the Gold Coast with all these,
celebrities.
Farnham and Will Smith and all that. And we were the most popular caravan because we were the only one with beer in it, because that's the first thing the boys did, stack it up with beer. And talking about where I went wrong, here's one where I went wrong, which I've only just got it over with. John Farnham, well, we did the rehearsal, right?
Yep.
And when you do the rehearsal, the stars, as you know, they have a standing, right?
Yep.
So the idea was, John Farnham's talking about, this is how we count the awards, Ernst & Young count the awards, and that's how we get the awards, right? And then we are supposed to come out and go, oh, I am the music, oh, count them up, you know, disturbing. Anyway, it comes to the night, the boys have had a few sherbets, I'm nervous, I've got a white suit on, right? So we're backstage, we haven't seen Farnham or Will Smith or anybody. Next minute, we hear them talking. Next minute, the guy says, you're on. So we've gone out, but he's got us out too early. And I've just seen Will Smith and John Farnham, all these cameras and crowd, and I froze. And I'm dancing like that. And Farnham stopped talking, and he's looking at me. And he says, what are you doing? I went, I don't know. Honestly, it's on YouTube, I'll send it to you. I've gone, I don't know. And he goes, aren't you? And I went, oh, yeah. Hi, I'm there. And then we go off, and Farnham, word of a lie, looks at his paper and goes, well, that was the Music Men, or whoever they are, the very professional Music Men. Now, I got destroyed for years. I can only just talk about it now. From the boys took the mickey out of me and everything. That was the beauty about this. We're all mates, and it's like anything, like your football mates. If you're with your mates, it's great. It's great fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that I've just remembered that then. But it's on YouTube, that you can see me.
Are everybody all the boys thought, that you came out of the original group still around, or have they gone back to England?
Well, I'm a bit like Sam. I'm two for none. Two divorces. But one of the my wives has got five sisters, and two of the Music Men have married them, right. But they've had to go back in England. We'd lost two Music Men, unfortunately, who's passed away, and all the others are still around here. One's in Perth and all that. Yeah, so we're all, but don't forget, in the early days, because they were playing soccer, not being big-headed, but as long as my red curly hair was out the front, I could have had
Yeah, exactly right.
So we kept changing them, right? And we'd be driving to a gig. What do we do? I said, just follow me.
Yeah, yeah.
They were more concerned was, how much do we get free drink?
So if the AFL or the NRL or the Soccer Australia or the Basketball Australia, if they rang you up and said, we've got a gig on next week, can you accommodate us? You would sit down and write some stuff.
Yeah.
Would you? Is that how it works?
Yeah, yeah, easy. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Give us something now and I'll do something in my head. Michelle. No, Don. Sam.
Michelle. Yeah, yeah. Michelle, yeah. Mabel, Don.
Michelle, Mabel.
Yeah, Beatles.
Sunday, Mokey, you bought.
Yeah, stop it.
Come on, right. Michelle.
Sorry, I should say this. When we got together last year to do the new one, the Trump and the Boris.
Trump.
And the Kim Jong-un, we got away with this. We did the Kim Jong-un with a mask. Yeah. We did Trump. We did
Boris.
The English guy. Boris, yeah, yeah. And Michelle was the first female ever to perform with the Music Men.
Really?
Yeah, and the ratings went up. Don't worry about that.
I wouldn't wonder. So you did Trump?
I should send it you.
You
are. We all had the wigs on and the long ties. Yeah.
And you didn't take his voice off, but you just sang about it.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'll send it you. Yeah. And the King Jong, we had masks on. King Jong. And then we did Boris. And we did it with trays banging our head and all that. And one of the guys was on a horse, come across on a horse. It was just mayhem.
And where did you do that?
At Royal Brighton Yacht Club. I run comedy nights.
At the what?
The Royal Brighton Yacht
Club. The Royal Brighton Yacht Club. I'm just.
Have you got my YouTube channel, Sam?
Yeah. No, YouTube. No, I've got. No. What I'm looking at now.
Musicmen.com.
Yes.
.au.
I've got that.
Oh, sorry.
Here. Just trying to see.
Sure, John.
No, mate. So if I went on musicmen.com, anyhow.
You got it, Michelle. Anyway, it's funny, you know. But it's up to date, and we do Putin, whether you can do it. You should have Putin and somebody shooting him.
Somebody shooting him?
Can't say that.
Yeah.
Hey?
Well, it's fantastic. It's a great success story, Brooksy and Michelle. A great success story. You don't know where you're headed next, but you're just waiting. Is that what we're doing?
We just go with it. I'm writing a book about all this, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah. I've been asked to do my memoirs of my time in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah. The funny thing is...
Who's doing that with you?
I'm just doing it on my own.
You're writing it?
And Dave O'Neill's helping me.
Yes,
he's ghosting with me.
He's a good man.
He's a great man, Dave O'Neill. And, I say, when I landed, Tattoo should have met me.
A what?
Tattoo, because it was Fantasy Island. This is, to me,
oh,
I'm on
tattoo
holiday
from the ice.
Every day of my life. And when you said about going to England, I go back every year.
Do you?
But why do you go back?
I lost my mum in 2019, September 94, and then COVID, so I've not been back. This is the longest in my life I haven't been back to England.
And
which I miss.
You miss?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What is it about? Just
because
that it's home?
I live here, but that's always my home where I come from.
Yeah, of course.
And black puddings were invented in Bury, and that's the first thing I'll have when I get home, a black pudding.
How disgusting.
Pig's
black pudding, what is that? That's
like
pig's
a haggis.
Blood. Is that pig's blood?
Pig's bladder.
Off.
Good for you.
And how absolutely vile.
What about haggis, Michelle?
What about haggis?
Do you like haggis,
don't
you?
What's that, the guts of pigs? What's haggis?
It's good for you.
What is it?
It's the intestines.
Oh,
you know what? It's just the bag around it.
Absolutely vile.
Hang on, you fill the haggis with what?
With spices and meats and good meat. It's just the bag.
Fucking disgraceful.
Have you not had one, Sam?
And what's black pudding?
Pig's blood. It's really good. It's like...
No, please.
It looks horrible, but it tastes great.
Yeah, but what's it? Do you stuff it like they do the haggis?
Yeah. Pig's blood and all meat and all things like that. And fat. In Bury, we have the biggest market in the Northern Hemisphere in Bury. They come from all over to our market.
Market for what?
For anything. Food and things like that. Oh, that's where I got these hats from.
Oh, right? Is that where you got that hat?
Yeah. So
it's
people go
hat
on there, especially to get a what am I talking about? Black pudding. It with paper, or you put mustard on it and you get it all over your face.
Well, Don, it's never ceased to be amazed at how people eke out a living and may have a vocation, and it's only to be admired that we grew up with what we do and we still stumble with it. These people, Brooksy and not Michelle, but she's just part of it recently, have come out from the old country and taken us by storm, Don. It's amazing, isn't it? Don't you think?
I just go back to what I, the first time I saw them, I told you, three acts that stick in my mind. Yeah.
You ever speak to Daryl or...
Yeah, well, I
do you? Touch, yeah. You'd be one of the few.
Well, I mean, sorry, through his people.
Yeah, that's right. You spoke to Daryl lately?
I've never met him.
I know Daryl pretty well, but he's up. He lives up in the somewhere, yeah. doesn't he?
He's been good to us. He's been great.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
He's been great to us.
He has.
And we give us an opportunity, and for us lot, it's a great story. Like when they had the 50-year anniversary thing, we got on that, which is like how ridiculous is that?
Right, Don, you started it off. Now finish it off. So thank Michelle and David, Brooksy. Go on, do it, and then I'll play the music.
You've just done it.
No, you do
it. Thank you, Michelle, my belle. And Brooksy!
I do. A don, 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 a don, don, don.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.